And I'll tell you what, of all the miracles, you know, there's miracles. People always want miracles from God. Oh, I want to see a miracle. We want to see healings and stuff. But this is the miracle you're most likely to get. So why not go after it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay. That, you know, people always want to see showy offy miracles, sort of like to say, like, oh, look, God is with us. He healed this guy. Isn't this wonderful? You know, wouldn't you love to just have some paralyzed guy stand up and walk at your church? Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't everyone just be like, and then the people outside the church would hear about it and they would know, oh, of a truth, God is with these people. God is with them. Why doesn't God do that? Why doesn't he want to testify to us by doing those miracles? You know, why, when I pray for someone, you know, someone's blind, and I pray, oh God, I wish that he could receive his sight. I wish that he would be listening to my teachings and receive his sight. And why doesn't it happen? The Lord has not seen fit to testify to me, to the truth of what I'm saying. I would rather have the blind man receive his righteousness. Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. It is greater to be delivered from sin. That's why when he says, which is better for me to say, your sins be forgiven you or rise up and walk? He said, your sins be forgiven you. That's what he said first to the man, because it's much greater. You can have such a great miracle. It's the miracle people all believe is impossible. That's the miracle you are most likely to receive, that you could be delivered from your sins indeed and not just in theory. So, that's, if you ever had a reason to put your faith in Christ, there you go. Keep the faith. Verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and the works to follow them. Now that's interesting, from henceforth. I think because John, from henceforth, from after all this judgment and from the 144,000 on the mountain. No, I mean, we're sort of going back to John standing and looking and seeing these visionary things, and the voice is now speaking to him. He heard these other voices. Now this voice is saying from henceforth that those that die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors. You know, it just gone back to blessed. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments from God and the faith of Jesus. And maybe I should connect that with verse 13. He says, write this. So it's being written. When is it written? Back in the time of John. He says, write this. These things are said on the last day, but this, John, you write. And what is written, it comes down to us. And from the time that the Lord departed till now, the dead are blessed, which die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors and their works. Their works follow them, but they do rest. They sleep in Jesus, as it is written, they sleep. And like I said, in my work on death and the resurrection, I have much to say about that. I'm not going to belabor the point here. Verse 15, or 14, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust his sickle in the earth, and the earth was reaped. So then we have this. This is, you know, where the image of the grim reaper comes from, right here. This is the grim reaper. He looks an awful lot like Jesus. That's the funny thing. There was a skeletal. When I had my brother draw me an image of Christ at one point for a t-shirt, but I do intend to use that or something like it for my second part of the Revelation CD, the musical CD. And I had him on a white horse riding through blood. And I had him with pictured him with a rod of iron in one hand and then a shepherd's crook in the other. We just kind of talked about different imagery. But I was sorely, not tempted, I don't want to use that word, but I don't know if it's a temptation so much as just I had a strong urge, let's put it that way, to put a sickle in his hand. Because you never see Christ portrayed that way. Now, is this Christ? You know, well, I'll tell you what, John is given a vision, and on the cloud one sat. He sees this vision, because it's all vision. He's clustering, he's reaping grapes with a sickle. It's not an actual thing, it's a visionary thing. He sees a one who is like the Son of Man. That means, in my vision, it appeared to be the Lord. He is the Son of Man. Whenever it says one like the Son of Man, if it isn't actually Christ, in this case, it's a vision of one who looks like Christ. So when you draw the Grim Reaper, he should also look like Christ. The Grim Reaper is, he looks like Jesus. He has a golden crown on his head. That's another thing. The Grim Reaper doesn't have that golden crown. He's got a golden crown. He's sitting on a cloud with a golden crown and a very sharp sickle. That's where the sickle comes from. And he reaps. It's funny to me how this image of the Grim Reaper of death is so just wrong. Here's the Grim Reaper. So the one, an angel is coming down of heaven and says, thrust in your sharp sickle and reap. For the time has come for the day to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. Because it's the judgment of God. The time to reap it. Time to cut them all down. To bring about God's wrath. And he that sat on his cloud thrust his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Whoosh. Just like that. Verse 17, and another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, verse 18, which had the power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So now we have another angel with a sickle, and now we have this other angel which has power over fire, which I wonder if isn't a reference, they shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. This is all very symbolic imagery of fruit coming to ripeness. The earth is ripe. All the things which were said that should be done have been done. And now all is ready. Thrust the sharp sickle in, cut them down, and prepare them for the pressing. Verse 19, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even to the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. So in the image I wanted done of Christ, I wanted him to be riding on a white horse.